Hey mamas, I want to give you a little tip on how I do it all while keeping my kids happy and content, and that's wearing them in the Ergo Baby Omni 360. I love my Ergo Baby Omni 360 because it allows me to get stuff done while they want to be held. In the 360, you can actually use it from the point that they're that little tiny human nugget that's all squishy and really needy up until the point that they might actually break your back, although there is great support. I use it when they're cranky at dinner time, but obviously someone still needs to make dinner, cleaning, DJing. Go to fruitsofmotherhood.com/ergobaby to get free express shipping on any order. That's fruitsofmotherhood.com/ergobaby. Now back to this amazing episode. I am beyond thrilled that my soulmate said yes to be on my podcast today, and we'll be talking about divorce and all about Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hello, Sonny.
So first, I want you to tell everyone how we met. What's our love story?
We are in an era of technology, and we basically swiped right on each other. You know, people always say, I wish there was an app for like friends to find like-minded friends. And there is, it's called Instagram. And I was like a low-key Fruits of Motherhood stalker because I knew that you lived just a couple of minutes away from me. And I'm like, I like her. How come I'm not friends with her? And then I saw that we had mutual friends on Facebook. And so I pretty much came on strong as I usually do. And you liked it.
And so I did.
Here we are.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay. And then let's get to the other love of your life. Can you tell me how you met your husband?
Oh, my hubs. My husband and I have been together about 3.5 years. We met just after I got separated from my first husband 4 years ago. It was a total surprise, wasn't expecting it. He lived in my mom's building. And when I was like a single mama, I would rely on my mom a lot for help. So I would go to her apartment every afternoon with Bella. Bella was only 2 at the time, just to pass some time and have like an extra set of hands in the afternoon, because for some reason the afternoons felt really long and lonely. And that's how I met Spencer, my now husband.
Yeah. And honestly, the same, like when my mom comes over, it's a relief from having to do everything 24/7. As we all know that you have been divorced once before, and you tell people that you were meant to be divorced. Can you explain that?
Yeah. I really truly believe that, because I believe I wouldn't have been able to fix the parts of me that needed fixing without being in a relationship that wasn't good for me. And the most important thing to remember is, like, you know, one bad relationship does not this epiphany make. It was a history of just really toxic relationships that I kept finding myself in. And the beauty of those relationships was I always had one foot out the door. Like, I wanted the attention and I wanted the guy there, but I always knew there was an exit strategy. And then I met my ex-husband, and we had tons of chemistry, but we were incompatible in every single way. And he proposed, and I was like, holy shit, there's no exit strategy. And I basically like self-imploded. Like, you know, he was not perfect either. It takes two to get divorced, but he really did a good job in bringing out all the worst parts of it, which was this commitment thing, these trust issues, the self-confidence thing that I was lacking. And so I suffered in that marriage very much, mostly because of my own issues. And, you know, I was really looking for him to like heal me, and he couldn't. And that just caused a lot of tension and drama. And afterwards I decided, well, actually before we split, about the last year of our marriage, I was like, you know what? I can't take this anymore. So I really started to work on myself, and I distanced myself a little bit from him within the marriage, but we were headed in that direction anyway. And I really started to do like inventory on myself. Like, what can I not take with me into the future if this marriage were to end? And eventually it did end. And therapy was just the key toward realizing what I needed to leave behind and how I needed to like step forward into my future.
And how many times did you say it was over before it was over?
For like the entire 3 years that we were married. And even before we were married. I mean, you know, I hear from women all the time who are like, you know, we say we're getting divorced and then we're still together. And I'm like, girl, I did that for years. Like, right. There's no, The only way to describe like when it's the right time to do it is the same way you feel when you meet the one. When you know, you know. And there was one morning where I knew that, okay, this was it. Like I couldn't have this false alarm of like, get out, it's over, you know, and then take him back. Like it was over.
And did, let's see, I just blanked. What was about that? Oh, so you talking about divorce, you know, a lot, all day, every day.
Yeah.
Does it heal you? Does it help you get through it over and over again? Does it bother you to talk about your ex all the time?
No, I mean, I try not to talk about him so much because what I want people to see is like, your divorce is really about you. Like if you leave your marriage and you're like, it's all him and he was an asshole and he did this and he did that, then you're missing the point. Like it ended for a reason, you know, maybe you didn't want it to end, but there are still things you can look back on in your marriage and say, okay, I could have done that better. I could have been better. Maybe I could have been stronger, whatever it is. I like to talk about how I failed us in the marriage, even though it was both of us. I could sit here and tell you all the things he did wrong, but then he'd probably sue me. But the whole point is that divorce is like a journey of self-discovery. And if you spend your time putting all the blame on your ex and what he did wrong, then you're missing the opportunity to grow yourself. And that's the best gift you get in a divorce.
No, that's beautiful. I love how you worded that. I think that's something that a lot of women are maybe unaware of, is kind of the silver lining in divorce. I know sometimes it can get messy with friends and family. Did you lose any friends and family during this?
Yeah, well, not family. Family, I would say, so my ex's family doesn't live, you know, where we live. So that was like really no love lost because it was never really there. But my family and I think just became even tighter and stronger. And my mom, having been divorced when I was a kid, was just all of the support I needed and then some. But it was interesting with friends, and I write about this in my book, how all of a sudden people are going to come out of the woodwork and be there for you like they've never been before. And then the people that you would think would be there having your back sort of like fade away, and you're like, what the hell is going on? And there's a reason for it that it took me years to understand. And, you know, it took me a long time to not take these things personally, but I realized an interesting thing about people, women in general, when you are going through something like divorce. First of all, I was the first in my friend group to separate. Everybody else was still like getting pregnant, having their second babies. I mean, all only been married 3-4 years tops. So
a lot can happen in 3 years.
Yeah. This wasn't anything that people in my friend group were ready for. And I think there was a certain stigma that was uncomfortable for certain friends that backed away. And years later, I realized that the ones that backed away more quickly were kind of trying to not face their own issues. Like one friend in particular, who I felt super close to at the time of my split, ended up getting divorced just a few years later. And she backed away from me really quickly. And I think, you know, with your divorce, it'll scare people into, oh my God, I don't want that to be my reality. Or it'll make you think about the problems in your marriage more deeply. So you almost don't want to face it. So I always tell people, don't take it personal. Your life just changed and your relationship dynamics will too.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. When Bella was, you said two, when you were getting a divorce, did you explain to her what was going on?
No.
Okay. Did she, like, I know around two, they're, you know, like they ask simple questions. Did she ask, or?
She didn't start to ask until much later. My ex and I, we had a home, and just before we split, we sold the house and moved somewhere else. So 2 days before we split, 2 days after we moved into this new home. So Bella never really had the chance to associate him with this new space. So it wasn't like she was missing him. I mean, I'm sure she missed him, but he had never really spent time in our space. So it wasn't like, where's daddy? Cause it just felt like our place for me and her. And you know how it is when babies are young. Up until that point, it was mommy, mommy, mommy all the time. She was always me and my mom. And, you know, I think if my mom would have moved away, that would have had more of an impact. Right. But like, it wasn't, it hadn't really hit her yet. And then about a year or so later, when she started having more play dates at friends' houses, I remember one day we got in the car after a play date and she's like, "Mommy, why was Danielle's daddy there?" And I was like, well, because he lives there. And she was like, "Why does he live in the house with them?" Like, she didn't understand. She just thought mommies and daddies didn't live together. And
right.
that was when I had to start explaining things to her in an age-appropriate way. Like, well, you know, some mommies and daddies are married and live together, and some decide that they're better parents separately in two different homes. And
I love that.
She's never really said, yeah, she's never really said, like, "I want you to get back together," because she's always had her stepdad in her life, my husband, mm-hmm. for as long as she can remember. So she's not missing that dynamic. I think it's hard for her that she's without me when she's with her dad. And but now that she has friends that are in the same position, it makes it a lot easier.
Okay. So yeah, she can relate, just like, I mean, what we do, try to find someone to relate to and what we're going through. Mm-hmm. So tell me about your pink and glitter apartment and what that meant to you and what that would mean to other women who are concerned about leaving.
That's like the best question. That I also wrote a lot about that apartment. So I'm all about like girl power and empowerment. And, you know, I'm like a girl gang enthusiast. And when Bella and I moved into this townhouse, you know, I always knew we moved in with my ex, but he was gone in 2 days, like I said. So I always kind of knew this would just be our space. And we really made it our space. Like, it was so feminine. And, you know, I would go to Home Goods and buy every single like unicorn and "You've got this" and "You go, girl." Like, it literally like looked like a hype woman's cave. Like, it was just,
I love that.
It was, I mean, I remember buying new bedding that, like, I remember thinking, "Oh my God, my ex would hate this." And that's how I knew it was the right one for me. It was like pink and gold. And it just had a very strong, such a strong sense of feminine energy that, I had an energy healer come over once to sage. Uh-huh. I'm like, "I don't know if I need that. People talk all this shit about saging. Maybe I need to get the bad energy out of here." And she literally was like, "There is so much feminine energy in here. You will repel any man that comes in here." And I was like, "I don't give a shit." Like, it,
that sounds
it
fine. Was so good.
But she did make me do two things and it was really weird. So she went into my kitchen and she was like, "Oh my God." She like jumped back and I was like, "What's wrong?" She was like, "You have knives there." I had like my cutlery set. And I was like, "Yeah, that's my kitchen knives. That's where I keep my," and she was like, no, "You can't have them there. That's your relationship corner. If you have knives in your relationship corner, you're going to keep getting hurt." And I was like, okay.
Okay, so but I have knives in my corner. Can you, is it like in a block or what?
It was but like, I'm like, "How do you know that's my relationship corner?" And she was like, "Based on the energy and da, 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 they might not be in your relationship corner."
Okay.
I don't know. So she made me move them to like the other side of the stove. Fine. Then she goes up to my bedroom and I had this giant painting on the wall of this beautiful, like, black jazz singer screaming into like mm-hmm. a mess of pink, and it said, "Life is beautiful." And she mm-hmm. was like, take it down right now. And I was like, "I don't think you understand. Like, I don't need my home to be designed to meet a man." And she was like, "There's something about the energy in this room that isn't good." And I'm like, all right. So I took the thing off the wall, and 3 days later I met Spencer.
Oh my goodness. How funny. Okay. We also need her contact information and her Instagram.
You know what's funny? She's gone. She used to live in Coral Springs. I remember when I first drove to her house for like a Reiki session, which I didn't believe in and I still might not believe in, but it was great anyway. I can't uh-huh. find her. I've wanted to shout her out so many times. She's like gone off the grid. So
she must have some magic powers.
Something. It was pretty funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I would really like her just to come to my house and tell me what my relationship corner is, which it has to be my closet, because anytime it's a mess, I freak out and we're not good. But as soon as I clean it, we're good. Maybe the sink too. Anyways. So tell me more.
Yeah.
Tell me more about your membership in this community that you're building.
So thank you for asking that question. I started building this community on Instagram a few years ago of women who were like, "Oh my God, you're talking about divorce. Nobody else is doing that. Thank you. I feel this." You know, I was writing articles for a bunch of parenting outlets at that point about divorce when nobody was really talking about it. So my following became really just people who wanted help and advice with divorce and co-parenting and really just getting over heartbreak. So I decided to become a coach. I started my podcast first to be able to bring on actual divorce experts like lawyers, mediators, therapists, all sorts of people that could answer the questions I didn't know how to answer. And then within that, I'm like, well, you know what? I want to be able to help people too. So I became a coach. And with that, I realized, you know, coaching is one of the most powerful tools you can have in your back pocket when you're going through a divorce, because it's somebody to validate your feelings and also help you, give you strategy to get through some of the more challenging parts of divorce. And therapy serves its own purpose too, but it's a little different than coaching where you have like this cheerleader by your side all the time.
Right.
And I realized so many women couldn't afford coaching. Like, coaching is not cheap, you know, and everybody's got to make a living. Even if you're not charging a lot, it could still be a lot for somebody else. So that's where I developed my membership community, because I still wanted women to be able to benefit from the professional advice, to have some sort of outlet where they could connect with each other and connect with me. So the community is $9.99 a month, and I regularly upload helpful information from divorce experts in my industry that can help a woman on her journey in three areas: co-parenting, emotional wellness, breakup support, and the divorce four areas, the divorce process. The members get a monthly coaching session with me, group workshop, and they get a Facebook community, which is so active and amazing. Everybody's connecting all the time. And so it's been a really great thing for people that need to feel seen in their divorce process.
And I think you told me once that you also have workouts and maybe some other music to kind of get the mood going. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I added some playlists. For me, music is, I can't get through my day without it. I have a playlist for every mood. So I uploaded a few to the membership community: when you need a good cry, when you're feeling like a badass bitch, when, you know, you're angry. So
yeah,
I have those playlists. And my biggest outlet is exercise. I had my favorite fitness instructor do like a little, we have a yoga for relaxation, and we have like a more intense, like, Matt Pilates routine, which I love starting my day with. It helps me when I'm really stressed. So
yeah, there's nothing like music.
Also, there's a lot of affiliate partners in there. I share my favorite brands and codes for a discount, workout clothes, makeup, all sorts of stuff. So that's in there too. And, you know, I just wanted it to feel like when you are totally alone and feel like there's not anybody in the world who understands what you're going through, there is, because there's the Moms Moving On community.
That's awesome. And speaking of accessories and stuff, can you tell me about your bracelet?
First, I started selling these cute, like, gold beaded bracelets, which are, like, you know, trendy right now, that said moving on and like those block letters. And I realized, like, okay, those did okay. And then one day I just decided I was going to do a bracelet with a more powerful message, because something I'm always preaching to the moms who follow me, the co-parents, is that the negative emotions that our exes try and place on us for the divorce, because they're high conflict, because they may have a personality disorder, are not our fucking problem. We tend to take it personally because, oh my God, we were married to this person. We created a life or lives with them, you know, and our children. And now we're their emotional dumping grounds. And it happens to almost all of us. And it sucks. And it's really hard to separate yourself from it. So I created a bracelet with the letters NMFP, which stands for not my fucking problem. And it's a reminder for every woman who is trying to get through her day, you know, without being emotionally inundated by her ex, that his emotions, the way he feels, what happens after you sign those divorce papers in terms of his emotional well-being, is not your fucking problem. And it's a really powerful message, because as women, we tend to want to nurture and fix, and we feel the guilt and take the blame onto ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you completely stop yourself from moving forward. So those sold out a few times now. I may sell them again.
think so. I need one.
I'd really like to sell my book first. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. First, I said that I do need the bracelet though, because I need it for my toddler's mood swings. Like I can't keep up. So I do need the bracelet, but then we can talk about the book.
So those are also a fucking problem, but they kind of are because you have to deal with it.
But it's like, today's been a day.
And it's only 9:45.
Yeah, it was a day by 6 a.m., let me tell you. But your book, I am so excited, so excited. Tell me all about it.
Well, I'm excited. You know, you've been such an integral part of my book journey. Like you've, from start to finish, like been there when I was like, I don't know if I should do this. And then maybe I need to work with this coach. And you, so I love that you can appreciate it with me. I love you.
I love you too. I'm so excited.
I knew I always wanted to write a book. In third grade, I had this like coming into my own moment where I realized writing was my thing. My teacher, Mrs. Winston, I don't even know if she's still alive, or she might have only been like 30 years old when we were in third grade, but she looked like she was 70.
Yeah.
When you're little, everyone looks old. Anyway, if she's listening to this, Miss Winston, you changed my life. But she was very heavy on poetry and prose and just writing and the written word. And she just had such a beautiful way of expressing things. And it awakened something in me. And I used to write. And at that time, my family was falling apart. My parents were on the verge of divorce. It was just an ugly time in my life. And writing became my outlet. And I found recently all of these papers my mom saved where I would write these like deep heartfelt things in like third grade. And Mrs. Winston wrote on one of the papers, like, you should be a writer one day. So I was like, yes, I'll write a book. So my whole life, I wanted to write a book. I was a journalism major in college and then a communications major. And then I ended up going into education, but writing was always the focus in my classroom. Like that was my favorite thing to teach and have kids express their feelings through writing. I knew there'd always be an opportunity to write a book. I just didn't know when. And then as I became, you know, got more of a following on Instagram and started writing for all these publications about divorce, women would reach out and say, where can I buy your book? And I was like, well, I don't have one. And it started to make me feel like, okay, this is my moment. So I got busy this summer, real busy, trying to land an agent. I was rejected by my dream agent. You can't get a book deal without an agent. That's basically why I needed an agent.
And you almost can't get a book deal without rejection too.
Oh yeah, I'll get there.
Territory.
So I reached out to this agent on a total whim. I spent all of 5 minutes putting together like a one pager about my book. It was like the shittiest, like I'm mortified to this day that I sent that to her. And she was like, thanks, sweetie, but no thanks. And I was like, well, what do you mean? What's wrong with it? I want to know. And then she was like, you know, I appreciate you asking and looking for feedback. Here's what I think. I think you have a great following, a great message. You just need to refine your ideas. You should maybe work with this book coach. And I'm like, oh. So I heard from friends in the publishing world that this book coach was extremely hard to get in touch with. She's like the best of the best. You're lucky if she even considers you. Lo and behold, we ended up having a call where I was like, I'd sell my car to work with you, whatever it costs. It was amazing. And her team, her name is Jenny Nash. I mean, I would make her the godmother of my next child if I were having a next child, which I'm not. But she really helped. She became the architect of this book. Like she was like, okay, these are your ideas. These are your strengths. This is the message you want to send. This is the story you want to tell. Here's how we're going to tell it. So she really helped me outline my ideas and organize them in a way that would be impactful. And then when we put together like a fully fleshed out book proposal, we went back to the agent who rejected me. And I was like, look, I just had to try. And she was like, well, I would love to work with you now. She was so impressed by the work that I had done and the advice that she gave me that I actually took. And then we hit the ground running trying to land a book deal. And 47 rejections later, I got the deal that I wanted with Simon & Schuster. So Mom's Moving On, Real Life for Conquering Divorce, Co-Parenting Without Conflict, and Becoming Your Best Self will be published in October of this year by Simon & Schuster, but we are starting the pre-sale process very soon. So you'll be able to pre-order it. And I'm going to be doing lots of fun stuff for my ladies who pre-order the book.
That sounds great. And you can find out about that on your website or on Instagram, which you need to follow her if you're not already, on Instagram at the Michelle Dempsey. And her website is momsmovingon.com.
It is.
And let's see, I wanted to ask you three more questions. Okay. First is, what is the number one tip that you would give someone going through divorce?
You're gonna get through it. It feels like you won't, and it feels like you're gonna die. But if you are lucky enough to wake up tomorrow morning, then you have the opportunity to use this new day and new morning as a chance to rewrite your story. And the second you stop looking at your divorce as a death will be the day that you're able to like really harness the power of starting fresh. It's a new beginning. So just remember that you will get through it, and your life is going to look a whole lot different a year from now. And you'll look back and you'll be like, damn, I did get through that. And I am pretty badass.
You are badass, Michelle. I love you. Thank you so much for talking with me today. I'm in a happy marriage, but like, you give me goosebumps. Like, I'm going to be great. I'm going to get through this.
Great, and your husband is great. And your boys are great. But I think, you know, something I find really flattering is when women reach out to me and they're like, I'm not even divorced and I love your account. And that makes me feel good. What's funny also is when non-divorced people share my account and then they start getting questions like, oh my God, are you okay? Something going on at home? That happens to a lot of my friends. My best friend and me just shared my like pre-sale stuff for the book, and everyone started reaching out to her like, are you guys getting divorced? She was like, no, I'm just supporting my best friend.
I get the same thing when I do the Ask Me Anything polls on Instagram. People ask me, are you getting a divorce? I'm like, no, I just love Michelle. It's not a big deal. Okay. And then the last two questions for you today is, I need you to tell me your least favorite part of motherhood and your favorite part of motherhood, because as you know, my mission is to kind of normalize that it's okay to not be okay. Like, it's hard and we can talk about that and there's nothing wrong with that. So you can tell me your least favorite and your favorite.
Bedtime. My bedtime routine is a hot mess. It takes everything I have in me not to snap every time. I'm already exhausted from the day. I have one child and she is fantastically strong-willed and smart. So you can see how that might be exhausting on the day to day. She's a ball of energy and fire. So by bedtime, I'm like, go the fuck to sleep. But I want to do it in a loving way where I'm not like scarring her for life with my stress. Yeah. So bedtime is really challenging. And I'll say the other part is how fast it goes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, oh my God, this stage is so hard. I just want to get to the next one. And then all of a sudden your kid turns six and you're like, how did we get here?
Yeah. Yeah. My littlest one, he goes to sleep like a peach. And then my oldest one also takes a lot of deep breaths, a lot of deep breaths.
Sometimes I come out of Bella's room after trying to put her to bed and my husband's like, you okay? And I'm like, no, just don't talk to me.
I look like I
just went through a tornado, my eye makeup, my hair, like it's a war.
Oh my gosh. I relate to that so much. Christopher tries to talk to me. I'm like, just give me a second. I gotta like calm down.
Yeah.
And then your favorite part?
I think my favorite part is you're going to make me cry. Just seeing the person that,
if you cry, I'm going to cry. I'm just warning you. I will cry.
I am constantly amazed at this little person that I am raising. I think I've made a really conscious effort to give to her what I felt I didn't have as a kid. And granted, I love my mom and all of that, but nobody does it perfectly. So I see the tools I've been giving her coming into play now in certain social situations, the way she cares about other people. I heard from the teacher in her class yesterday that there's a girl with a broken arm at school, and Bella has made it her business to like take care of her, carry her backpack, open her water bottle, and just all of the things that she is becoming. Like, that's my favorite part of motherhood, is just watching her come into her own so beautifully, despite being a child of divorce and the struggles of co-parenting and how she's had to grow up a little bit faster than some of her peers. Like, just watching her blossom is just so magical and fascinating. And I look at her sometimes and I'm like, your little tushy was in my body. And now you're like this force of life. And it's just, it's wild and it's beautiful. And I'm so grateful that she chose me.
I think that's something also for other moms going through divorce to hear, like they're going to be okay. The kids are going to
The
be
kids are going to
just
be
fine.
fine. That's the thing. Like, it's us, right? Like, we are stressed out and hurting, and we're wondering if our kids are being all fucked up. But, like, they're so much better than we give them credit for, and so much more resilient. So long as you handle your divorce like a rational human being and you're not bad mouthing your ex in front of your child, like, your kids are going to be fine.
What a great message. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. We'll have to do it again.
I got time for you anytime. I put on makeup for you on a day where I was just going to stay in bed and do nothing. So that shows how much I love you.
Actually, same. I even put on a hat.
Yeah, well, you're like, if I put on a hat, I would look like Inspector Gadget. So you
Do you
rock.
have one nearby? Let's put one on. Let's just both be wearing hats.
I don't think I do.
That's
But
okay.
you said, I mean, did you see in that chat yesterday? Like, I have an abnormally large head. To the point where, like, when I go skiing, I have to get like the oversized ski helmet.
It's
And
your
I mean
hair.
this.
If you have all that gorgeous hair, give
Yeah,
it
but
to
from
me.
the side, you can see, like, it's a big head and
Lot of
not
brain in
metaphorically.
there.
I mean it like physically, big head. So I was never the girl that could wear a cute hat. It would get like stuck and then my hair would poof out. I am not you, my friend.
It's okay, because I prefer if you weren't. I love you just the way you are. So thank you everyone for listening today. Look out for her book release, her pre-sale. Follow her on Instagram, and maybe we will start our own podcast pretty soon. What was the name you came up with this morning? Yeah, that.
A, because we'd bitch, and B, because we're so bitchin'.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
I love you.
Bye. Hey mama, do you enjoy a nice glass of wine after or during a long day of motherhood? Guess what? Me too. I want to tell you about Revel Wine Club. It's my new favorite way to get wine. Revel Wine Club is a personalized wine service tailored to your taste, budget, and lifestyle that makes buying great wines super easy. Tell them what type of wine you like, how many bottles, choose red, white, or both. Tell them how often you'd like each shipment, receive, sip, and enjoy, girl. Check out which wine I'm drinking right now by going to fruitsofmotherhood.com/wine.